Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege serving you as anchor, and it's an ensemble show, lots of interesting people involved. And the host of the program, its founder and guiding light, is Carol Marks. Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's kick this hour off in fine style now with Carol Marks in conversation with Philip Bailey. He's the lead singer of the legendary musical act Earth, Wind, and Fire, and he's going to talk to Carol about his new memoir titled Shining Star, Braving the Elements of Earth, Wind, and Fire, published by Viking.
Philip, you said that music was really hardwired into your soul. So how old were you when you started singing in key and rhythmically at the same time?
Well, my mom said that I was singing before I was talking. And I didn't really understand that until my youngest son from my first marriage, Philip, who actually happens to be a part of the group, and he was actually singing before he was actually talking, too.
And that's so great. And where did you
get in tune?
Yes, and you've also got your daughter, I think, is working for you, so I think that's so great.
Yes, Trinity is my assistant and stylist, and I don't know my way around the block without her these days.
Oh, that's really heartwarming. And now, when did you first figure out that she really had this winning combination of a voice that was capable of a 4-octave range and a distinctive falsetto?
Well, I actually was always mimicking female vocalists, like Dionne Warwick and Nancy Wilson and Sarah Vaughan and Morgana King. And so I just grew up kind of singing those songs because I loved the songs, Mahalia Jackson. And I think I developed that upper register. It was later when I was singing in a club in Denver that a music teacher came by and saw one of the shows and said I had an amazing falsetto. But I'm actually a baritone. And so I studied operatic baritone in college and studied some operatic baritone out here with the great Seth Riggs as well. So it's been project of my life musically or vocally, you know, to just marry the baritone with the soprano stuff and just kind of tie them all together.
And that's one of the things that makes the music and the singing that you do so unique. Now, you joined Earth, Wind, and Fire when Maurice White, its founder and visionary, invited you to in 1972. What did Maurice White say was the mission of Earth, Wind, and Fire? And I'm sure it's the same mission today.
Well, the mission of Earth, Wind, and Fire was to render a service to humanity through our music. And how we would do that was to choose to philosophically to write songs that would hopefully be uplifting to the listener, to actually integrate different genres of music together and offer them to our listeners in a commercial kind of way, which we did, and to give them the a kind of an on-Broadway stage production in our live performances, which we did. So those have been some of the things that have always been true and in concert to who Earth, Wind, and Fire, how it was conceived and who it is today.
Don't you think another thing that has made Earth, Wind, and Fire keep going strong 40-plus years plus is that they play so many different genres of music, from rock to jazz to R&B? I mean, I think that's one of the reasons.
And the way that it's served up, too, as we say it, we play those different genres of or complexions of music, but we also give it to them in a way that they can sing hooks, they can sing melodies, they can sing verses, they can dance to it, they can, you know, cozy up, make love to it. It's a music that you can enjoy and appreciate at the same time. It is very educational as well. It's actually taught in universities now.
Wow. And that's just what your audience does, sing and dance to the great music. Now, your book's title is A Shining Star, Braving the Elements of Earth, Wind, and Fire. So tell us what its theme was and what led that song to being part of your memoir's title.
Well, I'm a co-writer on The Shining Star. We always talked about we always affirmed one another in our highest aspirations and our dreams and goals and who we wanted to be and what we wanted to accomplish. And we felt as if that was something that we wanted to say to our audiences as well. And so that's how we did it in that song, Shining Star. I also call all my social networking friends and fans Shining Stars, and I give them positive affirmation, different life lessons, and just, you know, go back and forth with them, because we all are in our essence, you know, in our creative being. We all are very special in the Creator's eyes, you know. None is above another. And so that's really what The Shining Star is all about.
And it certainly went over so well. I mean, it was that song that you co-wrote really became Earth, Wind, and Fire's first top 40 crossover hit. Am I correct about that?
It sure did. It became our first number one record across the board.
Now, let's talk for a minute about something that's very important to you, your religion. Christianity became a vital part of your life in 1975 when you attended a church service. And isn't it true that you feel strongly that you, in your work and with music, that you really are carrying out God's work by serving as a role model and a communicator?
Well, certainly for me, my purpose and my destiny is all linked to my Creator God, Jesus Christ, and what my purpose is in life. Around 75, when God found me, it kind of put all the pieces in place, it hasn't been an easy ride. It hasn't been something that, okay, then everything, it was all happily ever after, because I've gone through my ups and downs and life challenges, which I talk about in the book. But through it all, I've gotten better and not bitter, and it's been largely because of my faith in God.
That's a wonderful way to be. And as you've just said, you know, life hasn't been easy. You certainly have had your ups and downs. And, you know, in 1983, when Maurice White, the founder, disbanded Earth, Wind, and Fire really abruptly, you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps, became a solo artist. And you know what? I believe, Philip, that nothing happens by chance. So how did you meet Phil Collins, who was also beginning a successful solo career, and that led to the worldwide smash duet Easy Lover? It won a Grammy. So do you also believe that nothing does happen by chance?
Yeah, you know, like as you said that, I remember a quote that says, you know, that's exactly what you're saying. I think that, you know, every adversity has within it the seed of its equal or a greater benefit. And so the situation just that happened with Earth, Wind, and Fire actually offered me the opportunity to expand, to meet Phil, to do Easy Lover, to go on and do other things. And so, yeah, it's just all part of a life's journey. Sometimes it's like the very thing that you think is the worst thing that could happen to you is actually an opening door.
You were so right. And finally, I want to tell our listeners how much I enjoyed your book, Shining Star, Braving the Elements of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Older audiences and younger audiences are coming to the shows that you're doing, and it's wonderful. And didn't you also put out a new studio album, the first one you've done in 8 years, Earth, Wind, and Fire has done?
Yes, and it charted the highest that internationally, everywhere that it's charted in 30 years, that we've had a record in 30 years. And so we're doing that. We're out promoting the record. We're still touring globally and still having a lot of fun and still very appreciative to our fans from 7 to 70 plus.
That's right. You're getting a whole new generation of a younger generation coming out to listen to you. And quickly, do you have one thing that you could tell us that keeps you going? Your voice is so good and you're young and active.
Well, you know what? I have a lot of people that love me. My family is first and foremost next to God. And I it's just really a treat to be able to sing songs and live those songs. So we made some right decisions in what we chose to sing about.
Philip Bailey, in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled Shining Star, Braving the Elements of Earth, Wind, and Fire, published by Viking. Carol Marks returns in conversation with Master Dee Dee Nard. That's next, when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it? Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is our host, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Master Dee Dee Nard. She's a mindfulness expert, and she's going to talk to Carol about her international best-selling book titled The Compass of Now, How One Paid Off $3 Million in Debt, Became Financially Free, Heals Wounds, and Inspires Millions of Hearts, published by The Life Compass.
Now, I think getting through life successfully is all about being able to adapt to the changes that occur in our lives. And at 25, you were happily married with a master's in economics. By the time you were 27, you had the joy of having an 11-month-old son, successful career in the diamond business. And then what suddenly happened to you when you were 27?
My husband passed away. And I'm sure your audience has been through this, some of them lose their loved ones, and they know how it feels to lose your loved ones. Yes. At that time, I had 11-month-old son that I had to take care of. And what put the matter even worse is that I inherited $3 million, not in cash, but in debt.
And somehow, you were able to turn that around by the age of 20. And I'm sure everyone asks you how you did that. And in an interview, you told the story of the monkey and the peanuts, and what does that tell us about getting out of a difficult situation?
Yes, I often told people who ask me how I got out of my debt about the story of the monkey and the peanut. It's when the ancient people try to catch the monkey that come and destroy the farmer's crop, they will bring a coconut, cut off the top of the coconut, put some peanuts inside. When the monkey comes, he will put his hands inside the coconut, grab the peanuts, and once with his hand in close, he cannot take his hand out of the coconut. And humans laugh at the monkey that he's so stupid. If he just opened his paws, he can just take his hands out of the coconut. But what we human does is that we keep our desire. We hold on to our want, our desire so strong that we close ourselves from all the opportunities that life offers us. We want something so badly. Some people may say that, oh, I'm married to this man and I'm the wife, so no matter how many girls he goes out with, I still want to just hold on to him, no matter how painful it is and all that. Or if you want to hold on to your assets and everything, forgetting the options that you have in life, it will definitely hurt you and trap you in the problem. So my what I did was let go of the peanuts, the needs that I want. So I sell all my properties and I'm happy with what I had. So I paid off all my debt and made a lot more after that.
Absolutely wonderful. And you know what I found, Dee Dee, that was so helpful about your book was that it really gave you some helpful tools to really get out of situations that might be bothering us. And you said that the helpful tools were mindfulness and managing your inner life. So what is mindfulness and what's your inner life?
Okay, maybe at this time that we're talking, many of your audience, some of them may lose their loved one, some of them may lose their jobs or their business, or some of them may have health problems. But what I'm saying is that no matter what is happening to us, all of us or each of us, what you can do is that you must gain your inner freedom to be able to choose how you want to feel. Normally, people would think that if something bad happened to you, you're supposed to feel bad. But that is not the case. Suppose someone trying to take you down to make you feel bad. If you allow that to happen, you're making them succeed in hurting you. People can only create situation, but your sadness or your suffering, you create it on yourself. But the way to choose your feeling is that sometimes you feel bad, you just observe, see it as it happens, but it has nothing to do with you. Even right now, if some of your audience are feeling down, feeling depressed, or feeling worried, he or she can just observe that feeling as if it belongs to somebody else. Just observe it. The moment you observe it, you're not pushing it away or you're not increasing it. It will disappear on its own. And then you're free to choose what you want to feel. You can focus on the thing you want to them to happen more in your life. Like if you focus on someone who loves you, even your pets that love you, and you will create more love in your life, more wealth, more happiness in your life.
And you point out so powerfully that there's just one word that's powerful enough to create tremendous suffering, and that word is mine, because it's not all about us.
Yes, exactly. Have you ever noticed that when you hear about the news about some people lose their loved ones, lose their business, okay, you might feel some sympathy for them. But only when it's yours, it's someone you know, or your own family, or your own pain, only then when it hurts. That is because your mind grabbed onto the situation that this is I, me, mine. I want it to be the way it is. The more you grab and hold on to that thought, the more it hurts. So what you do, if you don't want to get hurt, you just let go of your mind grabbing those thoughts. Once you let go of those thoughts, you can be free and focusing on the things you can do. I'm not suggesting that you feel that the people you lose or the things you lose is not yours. But what I'm saying is that let go of the feeling that you're grabbing.
Very, very good advice. And at 35, Dee Dee, you retired from business. You're now spending your time as a philanthropist and a very sought-after self-help guru. What motivated you to write your book, The Compass of Now?
Yes, because when I went through all these things, what I wanted to hear is that things will get better. So So now, for the past 18 years, I spent my life organizing charity retreat and charity happiness seminar in order to tell people that things will get better in their life as well. If I can do it, they can do it, and they can do it much better than I can. And the most important thing is that when things happen to you, turn your best side to take care of things. When you don't want the problem to go away, it will go away. But if you keep on saying that, oh, I want my debt to disappear, I want this person to disappear, it will grow more, because whatever you put your energy to, it will expand. If whatever you want to happen in your life, you put your energy there. So put your energy on the good things in your life, and it will expand more.
How can people get in
and
touch with you?
And I tell all
you?
Of this. Yeah. Sorry? Sorry,
I wanted
Carol?
To know also how people could get in touch with you and learn more about what you're doing in your seminars.
Okay. My website is didinard.com, D-D-N-A-R-D, didinard.com. It has all the extracts of my books and the videos that can they can watch in their home in order to feel happier and have realized the ways they could cure their own life. And my books are available in Amazon now.
Absolutely. And you're on your American tour. And finally, what would you like American readers to take away from your book?
Yes, I want them to be really happy and know that they're so lucky, and things will get better no matter what they're facing. Life has best thing to offer. Whatever you can manage, your inner, you can manage your outer circumstance. So start with the right state of mind. Be happy now. Think good thoughts, say good things, and feel happy with your body movement. Observe your mind.
That's Master Didi Nard in conversation with Carol Marks. She's a mindfulness expert. Her book, The Compass of Now, is published by The Life Compass. For more information, you can go to ddnard.com. A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great station in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray.
Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We've reached that point in the program where we peek behind the curtain at the world of talk radio. Our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, is also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers, which serves the talk radio industry. Kevin, this week has been an interesting week politically, and of course we do know that talk radio is predominantly a political medium, and a tremendous amount of conservative points of view expressed on it, as is, you know, borne out by the numbers. This past week has been a big conservative brouhaha, as Eric Cantor, the congressional majority leader, was blown out in the primary in Virginia by an upstart, David Bratt, who represents the Tea Party, which had purportedly been on the way out. Well, it looks like rumors of its demise have been greatly exaggerated. There's quite a buzz on talk radio about this, isn't there?
There is. There's a big buzz about it, and it was obviously shocking. You know, the number two Republican in the House ousted in a primary. It hasn't happened in a long time. It's one of those things people can't remember the last time an incumbent of that stature lost in a primary race. So it's pretty major event.
We got ourselves a nice battle underway now, officially. This is sort of the shot heard across the dial, if you will, there is a battle now for control of the Republican Party between the moderates and the right wing. And this indicates, and if we know anything about the primary system, that the Republican Party is in for quite a fight, and it could wind up that come
the presidential election, you know, we do have midterm elections coming. Come the presidential election, Hillary Clinton may find herself against the likes of Ted Cruz or somebody who is diametrically opposed and representative of the Tea Party. Do you think this is possible?
It's, you know, gosh, boy, at this stage of the game, I guess anything's possible. Yeah, I mean, it could be. It's so funny that oftentimes when we're about, you know, 2.5 year, I guess we're a year and a half out from the big, you know, run up to the 2016 election. But remember, go back, and when we talk about who we think is going to be running this far out, we're almost always wrong.
Yeah, usually. We're usually wrong, though, in favor of what the primary system creates. We still think of the smoke-filled rooms.
Yeah.
And the primary system tends to favor the extremes because they come out to vote, and the moderates tend not to.
That is true. And keep in mind in Virginia, too, for our listeners who might not be familiar with how that works in Virginia, Virginia has an open primary system. And one of the things that is being speculated is that Democrats came out in droves to vote against Cantor in the primary.
That's interesting as well. And that's a form of tampering that is a problem with the system. It's not a remedy for the problem. It just creates a bigger problem. The other talk radio aspect of the story is that Bratt had tremendous support from major talk show hosts who are conservative. Specifically Mark Levin and Laura Ingraham, who are being generally given ad hoc credit by the press and within the industry for playing an influential role in his success in this primary, thus reinvigorating the idea that talk radio is a political force to be reckoned with. Have you picked that up?
Yes, we certainly heard that. They are being given a lot of credit. They were big champions of him, of Bratt, and in general of the further to the right philosophies of the Tea Party itself. And that's certainly something that's being bantered about as well.
One of the things that I have found being somewhat of a spokesperson to the press about talk radio, as you are doing here with me, is that the question always comes up, how influential is talk radio in the political process? My answer always is it depends on the individual circumstance, that there is no general across-the-board way to measure any medium's power. What do you think?
I think your answer is absolutely correct, Michael. I mean, you can't say that across the board talk radio has an influence over political races. However, you can look at certain instances, and in Virginia, it's very interesting. There was the people who are now analyzing what went wrong for Cantor are saying that there was an extremely conservative belt centered around the Richmond area that voted very, very intensely for Bratt, and that was part of what tipped him over in favor, tipped him over Cantor. But again, until it's completely analyzed, you know, how many people voted who were registered Democrats in this open primary system, it's kind of hard to say at this juncture, especially for, you know, people like us who haven't really analyzed the voting rolls.
And the way things go lately, by the time it's analyzed, we'll be on to something else.
That's
so it won't matter. Thank you very much. Kevin Casey is the Vice President and Executive Editor of Talkers. You can visit Talkers at talkers.com for insights into what's happening in the talk radio industry. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it? Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to be joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, who is in conversation now with Dan Harris. He's the co-anchor of ABC News' Nightline, and he's also the co-anchor for the weekend edition of Good Morning America. He's going to talk to Steve about his new book titled 10% Happier, How I Tamed the Voice in My Head, Reduced Stress Without Losing My Edge, and Found Self-Help That Actually Works, A True Story, published by It Books.
You know, this book is fascinating on many levels, including what goes on in the business of network news. And I was fascinated by the fact that you didn't paint a very flattering portrait of yourself early in the book. Why were you so candid?
It was not without some reservation, but I decided ultimately that if I was going to, you know, communicate honestly with people about what I found that helped me, that I think I needed to be as relatable and as honest as possible, which would give me, you know, would give the reader a sense of trust and authenticity.
What was your life like at the time that you had that panic attack on the news?
I was depressed. I had spent many years in war zones, and when I came home, this is after 9/11, so I spent a lot of time, you know, in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Middle East. And when I came home in 2003, after a particularly long stretch in Iraq, I got depressed, and I did a really dumb thing, which is that I started self-medicating with cocaine and ecstasy. And even though it was only for a brief period of time, about a year and a half to 2 years, and it was quite sporadic, mostly just weekends, never while I was working, and definitely not when I was on the air, according to my doctor, it raised the level of adrenaline in my brain and primed me to have this panic attack. And so obviously that was really embarrassing.
No, there weren't that many people. 5 million people watching. I can't even imagine what you're going through at that point in time. So you turned, and I know you had done a lot of stories on religion, and interestingly enough, being a not terribly religious person, I think you'd describe yourself as an agnostic. How did you come to meditation?
Yeah, I think I would describe myself as a respectful agnostic, somebody who got a lot more respectful as a result of being assigned by my boss at the time, Peter Jennings, to cover religion for ABC News. While I really was fascinated with the material I was covering, none of it spoke to me personally until I really stumbled upon meditation. And I will say that at first, I like most normal people think that it's, you know, I was under the assumption that meditation was only for freaks and weirdos and people who live in a yurt or, you know, really into crystals and aromatherapy and Cat Stevens. But as it turns out, there's an enormous amount of science that suggests that meditation can lower your blood pressure and boost your immune system and literally change your brain. And it shows up on the brain scans. And when I learned about that, and when I learned that meditation doesn't require, you know, joining a group or wearing special outfits or sitting in an uncomfortable position, that it's basically just simple exercise for your brain, I decided to give it a try. And the reason why I wrote the book is because I'm trying to change or chip away at the PR problem that meditation has.
And I love the book on many levels, but one of the reasons is I've been a meditator for years. And it is something that you do, many of us do, kind of quietly without making a point of it, but it really can work. Now, let me ask you this, because obviously in your line of work, you still got to be an adrenaline junkie to a certain point. Can you be an adrenaline junkie and on your on the point all the time and a meditator, or does it even make it better?
It's a great question. In fact, in many ways, it's the question for a modern meditator who wants to be effective in the world. It's not just a question that's pertinent for somebody like me who is ambitious in career terms, but it's important for anybody who wants to be effective as a grandparent, a parent, a volunteer, whatever it is you're doing. I think if you're striving for excellence in any arena, stress, plotting, planning, worrying, that all just comes with it. I'm still pro all of those things. However, what I now know is that we have a tendency to make our suffering worse than it needs to be. And what I've gotten better at least 10% of the time, is not going down the rat hole of useless rumination. I think there's a line between what I call constructive anguish and useless rumination, and I've gotten better at walking that line.
Great terms you get there. Do you think that where our minds are even... certainly our minds are too busy, but with all of the technology that we're doing simultaneously, I'm a professor at Bentley University, and I see the kids on multiple devices at the same time. And does that make it even worse today as far as calming your mind and making you able to deal with things?
No question it poses a unique challenge. I am not anti-technology. I carry both a BlackBerry and an iPhone, so I'm a believer in the power and the importance of technology and connectivity. But I think we misuse it to our own psychological detriment. The fact of the matter is, there is no such thing as multitasking. Multitasking is a short way of saying doing many things poorly. We have one processor. Computers have many processors, so they can actually multitask, but we can't. Neurologically, at the level of the brain, we cannot do more than one thing at a time. So when you are telling yourself you're multitasking, you're lying to yourself. And it's also a great way to make you unhappy, because you're going to feel frazzled and your attention will be fractured. And whether you're aware of it or not, you're going to be less happy. So I think that this great technology just needs to be used more wisely. And I'll just give you one small tip that I've tried to do in my life, which is to the best of my ability, I try to do one thing at a time. So when I'm talking to you, I've stepped away from my computer, I'm looking out the window, and I'm just talking to you, I'm just having this conversation. And when I go back to checking my emails, I'll just do that. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes I'm doing a million things at once, and I think there are times in our lives when it's unavoidable. But to the best of my ability, I try to do one thing at a time, and I find that it makes me calmer and more effective.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. You know, people think they're doing more, they're actually doing less and doing it more poorly. How often do you meditate?
I'm going to answer the question honestly with a caveat that I don't want it to freak people out. But I meditate 35 minutes a day, but I firmly believe that, especially for beginners, 5 minutes is enough. And I think there's a real power in the dailiness of it. That if you can just set aside 5 minutes a day to have that confrontation with the wild voice in your mind, your inner narrator, that you will be better some percentage of the time at resisting the terrible suggestions it offers up to you, such as, why don't you eat when you're not hungry? Why don't you check your BlackBerry when your kids try to talk to you? Maybe it's a good time to lose your temper, even though it's really not. And so I think that 5 minutes a day of that really will pay dividends. And there's nobody who doesn't have 5 minutes. There's no excuse you can muster for not doing 5 minutes of this. The science is so compelling that I think we're on the way to meditation entering the pantheon of no-brainers alongside exercise, brushing your teeth, and eating well that you need to do in order to be healthy and happy.
That's Dan Harris in conversation with Steve Wiseman. I love the name of his book. The book's name is longer than the book. No, it isn't, but... seems lately we have some pretty long titles. Listen to this. 10% Happier, How I Tamed the Voice in My Head, Reduced Stress Without Losing My Edge, and Found Self-Help That Actually Works, A True Story. It's published by It Books. Steve Wiseman returns in just a moment to tell us about the sentencing of Guccifer. That's next in A Touch of Grey continues.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of our program and more conversation with Steve Wiseman. Steve Wiseman is an expert on scams and fraud. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. His website is scamicide.com. And now, Steve is here to discuss the sentencing of Guccifer. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. Guccifer, which is the alias of an infamous Romanian hacker whose real name is Marcel Lazar Lahel, was sentenced 2 days ago for his hacking activities, which involved a lot of famous people, including Steve Martin, Colin Powell, George W. Bush, John Dean, Mariel Hemingway, Lauren Michaels, Kyle Bernstein, Rupert Everett, Eric Idle, Whoopi Goldberg, and Julian Fellowes. Now, if that name doesn't sound familiar, he is the writer of Downton Abbey. Guccifer was sentenced to a prison term that could be as long as 7 years. Although Guccifer hacked into the email accounts of a lot of famous entertainers and politicians, he didn't exploit his hacked targets for any kind of financial gain, even though the information he got would have allowed him to do so. Rather, his goals more often appeared to be to embarrass his victims and shake the world up a bit. Now, through hacking of his victims' email accounts, he got access to and made public the final episode of Downton Abbey last year, months before it was aired. He also made public embarrassing information he obtained through his hacking efforts of politicians and celebrities on both sides of the Atlantic, including allegations that former Secretary of State Colin Powell had an affair with a European Parliament member. Now, one technique, and as I said, he's a cab driver, that he used was to get an email address of someone, such as he did with media icon Tina Brown. Gets their email addresses and then use simple techniques to answer the victim's security question. Changed their password to the account and was able to get a hold of the account. And that's the key here, because this is what we really need to do. Protecting your email address is an impossible task. The key to protecting your account from being hacked is to have strong security questions. So, for instance, what he did, he used a list of pet names to find the security answers to many of the security questions for the celebrities he hacked. So my suggestion to you is to set up a security question that no one can guess. So if your security question is, what's my favorite vegetable? Make the answer electronic clock or some totally illogical response. Now, don't worry about remembering it yourself, because if the question and answer are as ridiculous as that, you will remember it. But this is something we should all take a lesson from Guccifer.
Thank you, Steve Wiseman, The Sentencing of Guccifer. And keep in mind that Steve is a prolific author, writes about many of the topics that we have discussions about here on A Touch of Gray. He's also written The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, and he has the website scamaside.com, which keeps you up to date on the latest fraud and scam techniques out there that we have to watch out for. Steve Wiseman. Also, I want to remind you that A Touch of Gray has a website that has all the archives of our best shows and the ongoing adventures of Carol Marks, who's nothing short of being an amazing woman, and that's atouchofgray.com, and Gray is spelled with an E. Thank you, Beverly Santanello, our producer on the front line, putting it all together. Thank you, Steve Wiseman, for joining us. Thank you, Kevin Casey, and certainly thank you for listening. I'm Michael Harrison, your anchor, and on behalf of all of us at A Touch of Gray, I'm inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.